Hello and welcome to a bonus quick hit edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. You know what? I'm going to ask you guys. I've done this. This is my second week in a row where, and it is largely due to travel that I'm coming back and I'm recording the full show. And then after recording the full show, I'm recording the quick hit session. So it's still a couple of data points that you guys are going to get, you know, potentially a couple of days before the full show. So I still think there's value to it. Although I'm sort of bastardizing the intent of the show, which is to get some quick hit thoughts before I do my full prep and in the full show. So it's a little bit out of sequence. I still think there's value to it. But I wonder what you guys think. Is it better? Is it worse? Is it different? Can you tell? Curious about all those kinds of things. The next, as far as I can tell, the next set of games I will not be going to. So I'll probably sort of get back into the more intended cadence or sequence of these games. But the bye weeks and the travel and the holidays and all that have sort of distorted some of that. Nonetheless, that's not what you tuned in for, but I wanted to get that out there sort of from the jump. All of the things that I'm going to hit, you know, I covered in the sort of call it the big show, and I just recorded that a few minutes ago, so I'm recording right after that. Nonetheless, I unpack them in a little more detail over there, but we'll spend some time with them here. I probably got 4 points that that I want to spend a minute with, and we'll call it a day. But I want to from the jump talk about Mac Jones, 5 touchdown passes. I break down each of the individual passes and what was sort of unique about each of those in the big show, or at least that's the intent that I'm going for. What impressed me is they're, you know, I hate to call like a touchdown pass sort of a garbage play, but sometimes they're just run of the mill. And you know, hopefully you know what I mean there. There was something about each one of these passes that made it memorable to me, and I think at least 4 of the 5, and potentially all of them, were the types of plays that I think NFL scouts are kind of salivating for. Maybe it was standing in and taking a shot. Maybe it was stepping up into the pocket. Maybe it was a pump fake that drew in the safeties and created some separation. And literally, those are 3 of the things, 3 of the 5. We saw him throw, and the other two call it throw into a precision point that created the touchdown. And those are the two Mitchie touchdowns, one of which was very, very reminiscent of another touchdown that an Alabama quarterback had in a recent Iron Bowl. So I'll save that sort of for the big show. But Mac Jones is doing things that are just continue to impress and amaze. He is an incredible quarterback. And I think when you juxtapose what we saw Mac do on Saturday against what Bo Nix couldn't do on Saturday, I think it really just demonstrates the separation between those two players. And I'm not going to pile on the guy necessarily, but Bo was terrible. And there's a lot of talk and a lot of sort of chatter off the field relative to his character and whatnot. But his play on the field was really, really poor. His mechanics, to his accuracy, just up and down the list. I mean, he had a couple of heave throws. Maybe they got lucky, but he just didn't look in sorts. He looked out of sorts all day long. Meanwhile, Mac, cool as a cucumber, stepping in, standing in, delivering the ball placement. I thought he looked really, really good, especially after the first drive. Najee, I really sort of unpack Najee's long run for a touchdown. And what's interesting is where we were sitting in the stands, we were on the west side, and the team was moving the ball south. I don't know if you can tells all of this on the TV. The stadium is oriented north-south, so there's a north end zone and a south end zone, and then the sidelines are on the east and west side. So the team was traveling south. We're on the east. I'm sorry, the west end zone. And where Najee goes to cut for and for these games, we're in the upper deck, and so we're kind of looking down. And where Najee, you know, sort of jump cut to the outside, it looked like he was running straight towards us, you know, where our seats were. And so what, and I say that to mean we had just an incredible view of the running lane. Sometimes if you're across the field, you can't really tell the depth and width of the running lane because you're looking across all of the other bodies, you know, that are on the field. And so it's hard to tell how open a run lane is. And so the fact that we're positioned higher, so we're looking down a little more, and then the fact that the running lane was right on our side where he was running towards us, it was just amazing. And as soon as he jump cut, just blurted out of my mouth, I said, "The vision." And immediately, I may not have known that he was going to score a touchdown, but immediately knew that this was going to be a big play. As soon as he's barely gotten to the line of scrimmage, he's jump cut into this hole that literally is huge. And you know, and the safeties are playing back. And so, you know, he's got, ample, you know, this is going to be a 20-yard run just anyways. And then he cuts the corner and he hits a speed that I don't think he had last year. And so he went 39 yards untouched, which is one of those sort of unheard of, you know, kind of plays. And so just really, really appreciated, seeing him do that. It was especially nice to see him do that after he went to the tent with what looked like an ankle injury. There had been a play earlier where he limped off the field, and it was a pretty dramatic limp. I'm not sure what the TV showed, but in live and sort of live Technicolor, he was hurt and was not putting, you know, very much weight on it. And so you wonder, hey, how long is he going to be out? And I immediately, you know, said, we got to get Jace some carries because we might be in a pickle here. And he went into the tent, and interestingly, Smitty went into the tent a couple minutes later. So I like the leadership there that he demonstrated. But and you know, they took the tent down, and so I'm scouring the sidelines. Where's Najee? You know, he's on the phone. There's a sort of the communication tower, and you can see he's on the phone kind of with the coaching staff. And I look away and I look back. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? And a few minutes later, he's on the field running for a 39-yard untouched touchdown, demonstrating every bit of his speed. And so he's probably sore yesterday and today, recording this Monday morning. But it looks like he's a full go. And so whether we sort of limit his snaps this coming week, I'm not opposed to that. But I thought he looked really, really good on that run. Incredible vision. And I like that we're using him. He had a couple passes. He had limited carries, I think 11, and he had two catches for 30-something yards. So very productive Najee, demonstrating, you know, sort of his full range of capability, which is fun to see. I think he may be a first-round draft pick, and running backs don't go in the first round, you know, kind of like they used to. But mid to late first-round draft pick, I think, would be the right place for Najee, and I think he can help an NFL team. Smitty, we talked about his leadership. We mentioned before that his play is art. It's performance art. It is. And I just want to repeat it. I don't have really anything to add to it. It's just, I feel like I need to repeat it because I feel that so strongly. And I'm not sure I've felt that, about another player. There's an artistry to the way that he plays. And I really do enjoy seeing that. I want to celebrate, Smitty, Devonta Smith, because, you know, even going back to his freshman year, he's known for, you know, the second and 26, and he should be. But he won a game against Mississippi State that we were going to lose. There would have been no second 26 if he hadn't caught the you know, in what, for under a minute, the touchdown pass, you know, to win the game in Starkville. And those are sort of the big plays, but just the things that he does, you know, he had 200-something yards against, you know, Ole Miss, a season ago, and he's so overshadowed. He's been overshadowed, by his own team, even this year with Waddle, and certainly last year with Ruggs and, Jerry Jeudy. And in the history of sort of Saban receivers, he's overshadowed by, you know, Calvin Ridley and an Amari Cooper and a Julio. But his numbers stack up with and above all of those guys. And so Smitty's a player that, you know, we're going to look back on this era and we're going to remember the other names and we're going to look at the records and say, damn it, that Devonta Smith, he was something. I do remember that guy. And so I want us to, I want us to appreciate these next few games. Let's appreciate what he's doing on the field, because it truly is performance art. The defense, this defense is getting nasty, and I love it. The secondary, we've talked about the secondary getting better and better and better. The improvement is visual. And last week I predicted that the defensive line, that we're going to get round into health, and that the defensive line improvement, that there's a long enough runway that we're going to see some visible improvement across the defensive line. And I thought we might see some of that against Auburn. I'm not sure that I expected that we would see as much as we did. Three sacks, all accredited to the defensive front. I think the team had 7 or 8 sacks, 10 sacks. I can't remember the exact number. A small number of sacks relative to, you know, 7 games in, and then an appreciable percentage of that total. The team cashed in again against Auburn on Saturday. So there are 3 sacks on Saturday, all defensive front players, which I thought was certainly impressive. Multiple tackles, multiple pressures, multiple tackles for loss across the defensive front. And even the Keystone Comedy play where we had two dancing bears bump into each other in the end zone and allow Bo Nix to get away and turn that into a 96-yard scoring drive, as frustrating as hell as that is, and sort of the comedic, defensive linemen running into each other in the end zone, even that is a demonstration of the improvement across the defensive front. And I know it sounds funny to say that, but how many times have we pushed, and think about this, earlier in the season, would you have expected that a safety was even in the offing? And much less one defensive lineman in the backfield, but 2, such so that they even could run into each other. And so I'm going to look at the silver lining on that. It's frustrating as hell. Would have loved the safety. Would have loved for them not to have a 96-yard scoring drive. All of that is true. But I'm going to look at the silver lining that we had two defensive linemen in the backfield in position to make the play. And that's one of those 9 out of 10 times somebody's going to collar him. They're going to grab a jersey. They're going to yank him down. They're going to trip his feet. They're going to do something to get him down. If they're going to run into each other, they're going to sandwich a quarterback in between all of these things. Right. And so 9 out of 10 times that play goes the right way. That stupid Auburn dumb luck. The Knicks kid was able to sort of stagger away and get the first down and keep the drive alive. But I there's something there with the defensive front that I was pleased to see. And so I think I think the 4 things that I wanted to hit. You know, I'm going to throw in a 5th, and I'm going to talk about I think Sark was more conservative on the day than I expected him to be. I thought he might tinker a little bit with unpacking some additional plays. I thought we were more likely to get that extra touchdown with him than without him. And we did see some wrinkles. We did see some nice things on offense, but I think, maybe it's maturity on Sark's side, that I think he was as, or maybe even more conservative than Saban would have been. 4 minutes going into half, we run the 4-minute offense as opposed to the 2-minute offense and try to line up and at least get a kick. You could think what Saban say, make their ass quit, you know, take their will away from them. If you're up 21-3, how better to do that than to go into the halftime with a touchdown, knowing that you get the ball back in the second half? And is there not sort of a hitman mentality that, sort of gangster hitman mentality that you have that says 21-3, we can put 14 points on these guys. We can make this a 35-3 game without them touching the ball, without them having an opportunity to answer. You wonder, I think we should have. I wonder if Saban would have tried to do that. And so 21-3, what if we get 10 or what if we get 14 points in that situation? So I thought we were a little bit conservative, maybe a little too conservative. At the end of the game, it was not a dissimilar situation where it was about 4 minutes left and we were, I thought, really conservative with the ball. And so, again, trying to run maybe the 4-minute offense. Now, that's why there's a 4-minute offense. It's a thing. I get it. A lot of times that's take the air out of the ball because maybe it's a tight game and you don't want to give the ball back because you could you could lose. And so let's possess the ball. Let's not be aggressive with it, but let's possess the ball. Let's move the ball. I think in both of these situations, obviously the game wasn't in jeopardy, and it would have been fun to see the Tide try to be a little bit more aggressive. Maybe to end the game, not score so much as just be a little more aggressive with the intent of getting that next first down so that we can run out the clock. And in half, I think we should have gone to put points on the board, even a field goal, right? Because they were 21-3, bump it back up to a 3-score game, right? That should be the mentality. Let's bump this up to a 3-score game and it's over. Now it was over anyways, but again, you know, as a coach, you're not assuming, you're anticipating. And at any rate, that's a long ramble, but I thought we could have been a little bit more aggressive on that one. Contest entries, the Legends Drinkware. I didn't say this so much on the big show, but on to this group, I know that there are several of you that have purchased the glasses, and I really, really do appreciate that. We get a little bit of a commission on those, not a whole lot, but they've sent us a couple of free glasses to sort of sample their wares and advertise them, and so I really do appreciate sort of the responsiveness that you guys have had. We wouldn't advertise, you know, junk or crap. And so I appreciate that, those of you that have done that. If you haven't yet, they're actually doing a 30% off. If you go to their website, Legends Drinkware, and I don't think you can add our 10% discount. So it's actually right now they're doing a better deal than what I can get you. And just go do it, right? Just because they're killer cool. And if you can get them for 30% off, then I'd say do it. Maybe somehow let them know that you heard of them from us. But at any rate, we're still doing a contest. We're still doing a contest for a pair of glasses, and it's either the pints or the tumblers, your choice. And all you have to do is, drop me an email, and you guys know how to do that. It's alabamafootballpodcast.com, and then go to the contact button and there'll be a form. You can just drop it in there, or just email it direct and they go to the same place, but alabamafootballpodcast@gmail.com. And just, you know, who's your favorite, you know, which player, and it's the whole thing, you know, Legends Drinkware sort of elevates the Brown Water game day experience. And it does. Which player elevates game day for you? And so this would be a player, you know, from seasons ago. It could be a player from last week. It could be a player, dealer's choice, right? And so who's a player that elevates game day for you? And there's any number of players during the Saban era and before that may have elevated your game day experience. Odds are still in your favor if you drop something in the list. And I did say in the big show, because we've got a handful of entries now. I think we have five, and we didn't have any last week, so we have five entries. So the odds definitely are still in your favor. And I thought, man, these are fun. Every time somebody has submitted a player, that has led to, you know, a little bit of an email like, oh yeah, I like that player. That reminds me of sort of XYZ. And then they've had their stories for those players too. And so if we get enough entries, and I don't know what enough is, 8, 10, 12, whatever it would be, then we'll do a bonus show just on that, because that's fun as hell talking about these players. I look at it this way, right? We all kind of have our own favorite players. And I call that like your own personal Hall of Fame. And so who's a player in your personal Hall of Fame? Share that with us, right? Those are the fun memories, sort of expressions of appreciation that we have for players in our own mind. Share that. Share who yours is. And then we'll see if we can't pull that into sort of a show where we all get to reminisce and sort of enjoy those players again. And experience favorite players from other fans, right? And I think that's a hell of a good time. That may be a good sort of between the bowl game or coming up to the bowl game type of show that we can put together. Plus you have a chance to win some cool drinkware, which is super fun and cool as well. So enough about that. Not trying to do a hard sell. Just trying to, if anything, I'm doing a hard sell on like, what player do you like? Who are your favorites? And let's make a show over that. And oh, by the way, you can win some glasses too. That's cool. So that's kind of where I'm at on that right now. But with this, hey, this has been a bonus edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you. and look forward to the balance of this season playing out. But with that, this has been a bonus show. Roll Tide.